Oh, wow. Sorry.
Okay. Dan, thank you so much. Glad we got it on the record. We got it on the record. That Dan gave up his place for me because I'm the preacher's kid. And just because none of my other sisters are here, I am the favorite. I just want you to know. And someone else gave up their parking place for me, and I don't know who it was. Was she even come here? Or was this some person you blocked her way? Yeah. Oh, dear. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, well. Okay, and I want to tell you that my mom, I have to tell you this before I speak. Hi, you guys are so handsome. You're so beautiful. When you're up here and you look out there at all of you, it's incredible the light that comes from you, really. It's a pleasure for me to be in front of you, to get to see the view. It's really nice. You're all so beautiful. But Mom wanted me to tell you that she's so thankful for all your prayers, and they're working. We had some bad days. Of course, it's always like that. But she's really getting better. She's just having a little struggle walking. But she said it's because of Janie. She and Janie are, like, hooked at the hip. And so so she said they're both going to be going like this, and their timing is going to be perfect. And she's really going to feel so much better that we're really hopeful. But I want you to know that when you go to the Caring Bridge site, and we're typing little messages, and she reads them all, or we read them to her, and the cards and everything. It means the world to us. And I want you also to know that I've said she could live with me wherever I am, and I want you to know that she will not because of you, because of YOU, all of you, and because she loves you so much. You are her spiritual family. And so we're here to help her get back to you, and we ask that you take good care of her and for us, because we're, you know, if we could, we'd hog her all the time for ourselves, but she's taught us to be generous, darn it. Well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what it was like growing up as a spiritualist, as a kid. And don't let me go over. Don't let me go over, because, okay, so I just, I want you to know that, and you probably have heard the story. Did you hear the story about my older sister when she was 3 and 4? Did you hear that story?
Yeah.
Okay, some of you have. But I just want you to know what it's like, because some of us came into this. I mean, this was just the way we were raised. We didn't know it was spiritualism. We didn't know that it wasn't normal. But when my sister was, hi, did I take your parking spot? Is that my fault? No, it wasn't you. Okay, good. Okay, come on in. Come on. When my older sister was 3, before I was born, my older sister would say, uh-huh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And my mom said, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? And she would say, God. And mom would say, well, what's God say? And Diana would answer with some things, and I'm going to give you some examples. There would be people who would come over, because my mom and her friends in South Jersey, a lot of her friends were pregnant at the same time. And Diane would go over as a little girl and touch their tummy and say, mm-hmm, uh-huh, that baby is a girl. And then she would do the same thing when somebody else would come over and say, that's a boy. And she was right, according to my mom, every time. She also would say, she would be outside in the front yard and say, uh-huh, and she would talk like this, and mom would say, who are you talking to now? And she'd say, my friend Pete. So she would go out and play with her friend Pete, and he was this lovely man, and this at the time you didn't have to worry about, maybe there really was a guy named Pete out there who was this, you know, scary guy. So she would say, my friend Pete says to look up this certain thing that she didn't know what it is. And for an example, there was a certain leaf or a certain tree that she didn't know what it was. And she would go in and pick out the encyclopedia at 3 and 4 years old, and Pete would tell her where to turn the page. And she would find it. Things like that. Well, when my mom took us to then I was born, and of course everything just got exponentially better. But when mom took Diane to church, to a Methodist church, unfortunately they said, oh gosh, I think your daughter is talking to, you know, scary devils or something like that. And my mom went, you know, here she's 3 years old. She's like, I don't think so. Well, then what happened is my mom started to encourage Diane, because my mom was raised in a family, was we have part American Indian, and they lived with birds flying into the window, which meant somebody was going to die, and a black rabbit would run across your yard, it would mean something else. So she was all was never afraid of things that happened, all kind of had a mystery and a mysticism. And there was like a magical way that my mom grew up and was unafraid, even though her grandfather was a very, and I have nothing against any kind of religion, trust me, but she was brought up, her mom was brought up to be a little bit afraid on the father's side. So my mom started writing to the Rhine Institute, and Dr. Rhine was doing some testing. I know some of you guys have heard this story, but Dr. Rhine was doing testing, and he asked if mom would bring my sister down to be hooked up to all kinds of wires and everything, because she was so in tune. She even said when mom and Diane were lying in the hammock, and Diane was like a little about four, Diane was going, mm-hmm, uh-huh, uh-huh, and mom said, what's God saying? And she said, the baby in your tummy is not a boy, it's a girl. And she's not going to be born in September. She's going to be born in October. And this was from a four-year-old girl who didn't, I mean, I don't even know how she knew the months and which was coming after which, but she did. And I was born on October 19th. It wasn't like October 2nd. I mean, I was in October 19th fully, and she was expecting me in the middle of September. So these were things this little girl was doing. My mom wrote to Dr. Rhine. Dr. Rhine asked for her to come down and be tested. My mom said no. My mom didn't want her to be tested. Now, if it was today, she probably would have. But back then, she didn't want her to be tested like that. But Dr. Rhine's wife and my mom started to write letters to one another. Well, one day, you all have heard of Reverend Mom Hill, right? Yes. Reverend Mom Hill, one day, she was my dad's godmother. And she'd moved to California in the 50s. Can you imagine how cool it was then in the 50s? I can't. I just think about it. It had to be so amazing. And she moved to the Los Angeles area. Hi, Natalie. Hi, Natalie's mom. You're Natalie's mom. Hi. And so she moved to the Los Angeles area, and she came to visit in Pennsylvania. And she said, I have to go visit Buddy's wife. Now, Buddy was my dad. So she said, I have to go visit Buddy's wife. And she came to our house. And I'm telling you, she was my mom with a wig. And just picture my mom with a blonde wig and tons of jewelry. She used to wear the gaudiest, wonderful jewelry and big crosses and muumuus and all. She was just wild and fun. And she came to our house and she got a hold of my big sister when she was, I think she was 13. So I was about 9. And she had Diane sit down with a piece of paper and start writing. Automatic writing, just writing, pages and pages and pages. And I sat at my sister's feet. And every time I tried to ask a question, my mom would go, ch-ch-ch, like that. I still shut up when she goes, like that. It's been so ingrained in me. And so she snaps her fingers and quiet. And what happened is my sister wrote pages and pages and got to know Pete. And Pete said, to prove to you that I am real, you will never have trouble with math again. And my sister had those papers where it said that. And at the time, she was not good in math, and now she's a CPA. And it's the CFO, thank you, CFO at the Children's Center over here. And all she does is numbers all day long. Now, why, what is that that we can get out of this? And I want you to know something. And I want you to know that this is profound for me. I have never... In every single day of my life, because we were brought up to believe that this was normal, because I was just as psychic as my sister, and Anita was just as psychic. We called them mediumistic. We didn't really say psychic. Because we were a channel, and we would literally say to each other as sisters, am I going to go to the prom? And my sister, Anita, would say, I don't know, let's read your cards. And so she would get out playing cards, and we'd read the cards. She'd say, yeah, you're going to go, but somebody's going to ask you at the last minute because he really doesn't want to take you. But he doesn't have anybody to go with. And she would read my cards. And Diane would go like this with a crystal ball. She would be like this, looking at a crystal ball. And she would. We would do this like other people play, you know, Yahtzee or something. We were like, she was like, yeah, he's, but mostly it was about guys, you know. Yeah, he's kind of cute, and I think he'll be blonde. And, yep, you know, that kind of thing. We would be able to, people would come and visit. We had a ghost in the closet named Charlie. We named him Charlie because we would hear him. We would find little evidences of him being around. It was not perfect because you are kind of weird when you're growing up like that. But it's a freedom. But the most important part of that freedom is that I never have been afraid of God. I have never once been afraid of God. And I think in this world that there are not very many of us who can really say that. And what I mean by that is I have been able to go in any church. I can speak all kinds of believing languages because being unafraid, I studied Buddhism and Taoism and Catholicism, and I call them the isms. I've been able to, there were times where I was, you know, just, there wasn't a rabbit hole. I've never done drugs. I don't like that at all. But, I mean, there was no rabbit hole I was afraid to go in to find the depth of love found in God. I have not had a plan for my life because I've been unafraid of God, because I believe so much that there is a plan for every single one of us, that I can go about and not make a concrete plan. I can have a hope. I can have a dream. It's perfect we sang this song. I have very high hopes. I have very big dreams. For a girl in South Jersey, I have done a lot. I have sung with Dolly Parton. I mean, I have sang it. I sang at the Grand Ole Opry. I've had a record out. I wrote a book. I'm and I thank you. Thank you. This is not possible. I didn't even know country music when I was born in South Jersey. Nobody in South Jersey listened to country music back then. How did that even happen? I had a rock and roll deal. I went to the Grammys. I was nominated for all these things. I am not telling you this to brag. I am telling you because I didn't have a plan. I had a dream, and I'm not telling you not to plan. I'm telling you, when you believe in God, really believe in God, your life is His, and it's an adventure. It's an adventure. I get to say yes to things that I would never be able to say yes to if I were afraid. Now, have I failed? Oh, man, have I ever. Is my hair falling down? It's completely falling down right now. I can feel it. I have failed so much. I have failed publicly. I have failed personally. I have failed in my career. I have failed in relationships. I have failed with my own integrity. I have failed. But never, never, never has that stopped me from believing that God is real. That He loves me, that He has a plan for me, and it's good. The plan that is for me is the same as it is for you. The plan for you is to love and be loved by people who know how to love. Sorry, I'm the crier in the family. But the plan for you is to love and be loved. And that doesn't mean by the perfect man or the perfect woman or the perfect partner or the perfect significant other. Those are gifts. Those are great gifts. And be grateful. But if you don't, it has nothing to do with your purpose and your value. Your purpose on this great adventure, this crazy thing that we're on, this roller coaster ride, your purpose is to strap yourself in. And I know you've heard this before, but I'm telling you it's true. You strap yourself in and you let go. You put up your hands and you say, ah! What is going on? What am I doing? That's what you're supposed to do. You are supposed to say, I have no idea what's going on. And you're supposed to feel that feeling in your stomach, you know, when you get to the top and you think, oh, no, 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 no. I want to get off. And you go down and all of a sudden you find yourself screaming, going, wow. And then at the end, you say, I want to go back. That was really fun. Because this is a gift. This life is a gift. And the more you live, the more you love, the more you take risks, the more you look like a fool, the more you are filled with passion and get angry, the more you hug people you don't even know, the more you talk to strangers and say, man, you are so pretty. Seriously. I'm going to tell you this one little tiny story that just came to my head. I don't know where I was. I was somewhere on the East Coast. This happens to me a lot. Where am I? I was somewhere on the East Coast, and I was in this store. And there was a woman, and she was beautiful. She was large, tall, and a little bit heavy, and beautiful face. But, man, she looked grouchy. But for some reason, God said, tell her that she is gorgeous, because she was. I mean, not just, like, physically beautiful, but, I mean, like, there's something about her. And I looked at her, and, you know. And so we're in this store, and this—I, you can imagine. Just believe me, I get myself in trouble a lot. But I said to her, I said, I have to tell you, you are absolutely beautiful. And she went, and tears started coming out. And she went, oh, and she started to cry. And she said, thank you so much. She started crying. She said, I feel so bad about myself. My husband just left me, and all I can feel is terrible, and all I can do is eat, and I just don't know why I'm crying right now, but thank you so much. I mean, it was like that. And I reached over, and I hugged her, and when I left, I heard the angel say, thank you. Thank you. When I'm in an airport, I look for the person who looks like needs to be told that they're important or they're valuable. When I'm in a store, I go around. I have a hard time shopping because I look at the people and I feel like I'm supposed to give. Not always. Now, I'm not always doing this. There are a lot of times I just don't feel like it. And there have only been a few times where I've said no to God and he doesn't really like it. But, but I have to admit that I have actually said no. I'm like, no, I'm not telling her that. I don't care what you say. I'm not telling her. And one time, it took months for me to tell this one woman something, and God came around, and just as I was ready to tell her, somebody else told her, and I was like, oh, thank you so much, because I know she was going to be really mad if I told her. Because sometimes you have to say things like, gosh, I'm worried about you. I see that you're, not you, I'm just pointing at you right now, but I'm worried, or something. You know, sometimes it's not always, sometimes you're not, it's usually people you know that you're supposed to, don't go up to a stranger and say, I'm worried about you. Just warning you, don't do that. But on this adventure, as you're letting go and you're putting your hands up, inevitably you're going to hit those bumps that you think, oh no, this isn't working for me. There's going to be days where you think, oh no, love isn't here. There is no love for me. I am left out. I am left behind. And this isn't good. There are going to be days like that. There could be weeks like that. There could be months like that. But I am telling you, it's those little dark passages. Think of Disneyland when you go through the tunnels and it's dark and you can't see the twists and the turns and you don't know if you're going to go upside down or some other way. When you're in those dark passages, just cover your eyes. Cover your eyes and say, you know, God is with me. My angels are with me. I'm on an adventure, and if I could see down the road all the time, it wouldn't be an adventure. If you knew what was going to happen every day, it wouldn't be an adventure. An adventure is something you don't really know how it's going to end. It's a mystery. And when I grew up in a life that had mystery and magic, there's nothing that makes your life more full than to know that there's a mystery around the corner, that there's someone who needs you, that there's somebody who's going to be blessed by you, that there's somebody who's going to bless you. I truly believe that if everybody lived with God on their minds and hearts all the time, that if we lived like that, this world would be such a better place. But we can't wait for anyone else. We can't wait for other people to love one another. We can't. Today is the day, every new day, we start out and we have to start over, strap ourselves in, and get ready to take your hands and put them in the air every single day. I want you to know that I have had some really, really hard things in my life. I would go through them, but would take a very long time. But one, like, I've had cancer. I've had, you know, I've been hurt. I've been car accidents. I mean, crazy stuff. And I don't know how I've escaped them other than God. And there are people who believe in God and have a lot of faith and still have trouble. But it is all part of making you a vessel for the light. It's all a part of making you a better person on your adventure, because we have to bring life into the world. We have to bring life. Not just light, not just love, but life. People are afraid. People are scared out there. We're the ones. You are the ones who are going to say, don't be scared. I mean, something bad could happen, but we're on an adventure and we don't know what tomorrow brings. So today, tell at least one person that you love them. Look in the mirror and tell yourself that you are amazing. My mom is in the hospital right now, and I got to look through this little thing into her throat. And inside your throat, they put this thing up. She was so brave, and they put up her nose. She's holding it. And she's like, you know, like that. And they put this thing down her throat to see, because she was having some trouble swallowing. And inside there is her windpipe. And, you know, we take it for granted, but they had her swallowing this stuff. And I was like, Mom, this is so cool. She's like, and I'm looking at her, Mom, this is so cool. And I want to tell you what it looked like to me. Every time you say something, there are these little tiny little flaps above your windpipe that go like this. And I was amazed. They clap together and open, and in like this movement that's very fluid. And I thought, there's this word in the Bible that says, make a joyful noise. This is why you come in and sing. You make a joyful noise. And I tell you, it looked to me like hands in our very bodies were clapping with the sound of our breath. And when you have no more breath, that's when your adventure is over. But as long as you are making joyful sounds and you're speaking to one another, you're speaking your hopes out, you're speaking your dreams out, you're speaking love to someone, you're speaking kindness to someone, you're speaking goodness to someone, you're speaking encouragement to someone. As long as you're doing that, you are celebrating right here. Even if you're the only one who knows it. When you are making a joyful sound, when you are lifting up others, you are literally celebrating right here. Don't you think that's incredible? I did too. And I wanted to share that with you. Mom doesn't know, so don't tell her. I told you. I just thought about that. She might not like you to know that she was like, okay. So you might not have gotten to grow up as a spiritualist and have your sister read your cards and tell you you were going to the prom. You might not have a ghost in your closet who would make trouble in your house. You might not have, you know, you might not be, obviously we're not on the same paths. You know, we're all here for different reasons. But collectively, when we hang on to one another, we make a difference together. We make a difference. You are making a difference together. I'm making a difference. We're doing this together. We're in it together. We're all on different paths, but we're all here for the same reason. To live. To love. To make a joyful noise. I ask you tonight to look in the mirror before you go to sleep and just say out loud, you're amazing. You're looking a little bad. I mean, I could do something with your hair. But you could probably use a little sleep. And maybe you need to drink more water, I'm just saying. But you're still amazing, because when you say that in the mirror to yourself tonight, you will be making life. You will be making a joyful noise with this instrument that we've been blessed to have. Thank you. Thank you so much. And please don't forget, do this tonight. I want to hear a report. How it goes. When you look in the mirror, don't forget. Let's just practice. Okay, what you're going to look in the mirror and you're going to say what?
You're amazing.
Yeah, you're amazing. And your throat will be clapping. Thank you.
All night long. That was
just that visual.
You want your glasses back?
Oh, yeah.